Wow, it's great to be here today and to worship with you and to be online worshiping with countless others. This is all over the world, right? Just everywhere. It's good to be back in our series with about Genesis in the beginning. And today we're going to, tackle something kind of like that. One of the texts that has been, stories have been often difficult for me over the years, even as I was teaching Bible, Old Testament Bible at ACU, always got stuck into this story. And there's a lot of reasons why I'm stuck in the story. And so I'll still be stuck in this story after we're finished today, but I'm hoping that God gives us some things that we can really chew on and perhaps influence our lives. I really hope that's going to happen today. We're talking about the story of Jacob's encounter with God that ended or began in a wrestling match. And so this is the story of Jacob. We've been talking a couple weeks ago. Jeremy talked to us about Jacob and Esau and their struggle over the blessing. And now we're kind of moving ahead in the story, and we're talking about the time when, after years of being gone, after this squabble, this fight, where, as a matter of fact, Esau says, if I ever see him again, I'm going to kill my brother. That's how they ended. I've had some conflicts with my siblings, but none that ended quite like that. But if I ever see you again, I'm going to kill you. Well, now, years later, Jacob is coming home. And he's going to see his brother Esau. And as a matter of fact, as he's going to see, well, we'll get to that in just a minute. But what happens on the day before he sees his brother after all these years, a man jumps him in some way and they wrestle. Jacob was alone. He'd left his family and his herds and his servants, and he was alone, spending the night, and he was jumped by a guy, and this guy ended up being God. So today, we're going to ask some questions about ourselves when it comes to fighting, when it comes to wrestling. So I'm going to propose that in many ways, we're all wrestling with something. And the question I'm going to ask over and over is, who are you fighting against? Who are you fighting against? And then another question, what are you fighting for? And when I say, what are you fighting for? I'm saying, what do you want to accomplish in your fighting, in your wrestling? Are you wrestling with God? Have you ever wrestled with God? Are you wrestling with yourself? Have you ever wrestled with yourself? Well, I've done both of those. Are you wrestling with just life? Life is tough. Are you wrestling with your boss? Any of y'all ever had a wrestling match with your boss? Or your spouse? And you know, we're not talking about actually throwing blows here. Some of this wrestling is just in your heart, in your gut, maybe coming out of your mouth. Have you ever had a wrestling match with your spouse, or maybe with your mom, or maybe with your dad, or maybe with your son, or maybe with your daughter? Who are you fighting against? And what are you fighting for? In the spring of 1968, I was alive. I was in the ninth grade. And, man, Jeanette, she says, ooh, yeah, I'm old, okay. In the spring of 1968, I was in ninth grade, and it was a tough year for America. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated that spring. Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated a few months later. But during that time of national conflict, I got into a fight. And you know, this is how it went down. Sometimes your mom and dad react differently to different things. I walked into the house, this is after the fight, and my shirt was torn, and my face was bloody, and my mom and dad reacted very differently to me walking into the house. And my mom was like, "Oh no, what's happened? What have you done?" And dad just calmly says, "Well, who won?" I had come out of the library, and I was going to walk home from the library. It was dark, and some guys from school, one of them, a friend of mine, decided that we needed to fight because, of course, it was over a girl. And I didn't want to fight. And I said, "I don't want to fight." But he had a couple of our friends with him, and they all decided that it was going to be a fight. And so after I was called quite a few names and pushed a little bit, the fight was on. And when Dad asked me who won the fight, I smiled big and said, "Well, it might not look like it, but I did." In eighth grade, I'd lived in Seoul, Korea. And one of the things I'd done in Seoul was take Taekwondo. And I did not know, because I never ever punched anybody. I never hit anybody. We just did these. But I punched a lot. It was the air. And you know, something about muscle memory, it clicked in. And so the next day at school, went to school, I was there, had a few bruises and scrapes, but the guy who I fought against didn't come to school. And he didn't come to school for several days because both of his eyes were swollen shut and they were the color of Aggie's uniform. And my coach, ninth grade math teacher, kind of the guru of the school, sat me down and said, "What have you done?" He said, "I'm going to take your letter jacket away," because I was played football that year. He says, "Because you did not represent us well." I said, "Well, what should I have done?" "Whatever it took. That's not a fight that you should fight. You nearly killed that kid." I didn't really nearly kill the kid, but I did hurt his eyes a bit. Who are you fighting against? Why are you fighting anyway? James chapter 1 says that we're going to go through struggles and trials, fights, if you will, and they're going to lead us to perseverance. James chapter 4 says that our fights come, our quarrels come because we're selfish. We only care about ourselves and what we want. Philippians and 1 Corinthians and 1 Peter and all in the Gospels, it talks about us having obstacles, fights with people who are against God. They're enemies of God and they hate the truth. And we're going to have times where we're going to fight. But what are you fighting? What are you fighting against, I guess? And then also, what are you fighting for? Let's pray. God, today I pray that you would open our hearts and minds, that we would hear a message from you. Father, as I speak these words today, the listeners and even me, we are in different places in our lives. Different situations. And I pray that you would speak to us in whatever situation we're in, and we would hear your love and your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes there's a fight going on inside of us, and that fight spills over into our lives. Have you ever been this way, where you started an argument and you didn't know why? But there was something just eating at you. And perhaps for some, sometimes that fight is a tool for God. God can use that fight to transform us, to change us into his own image. But in our world, there is a striving, there is a struggle in life. There are conflicts in life. And that's part of living. Sometimes the conflict has to do with our desire to have things our own way. As a matter of fact, I would say most of the time in my experience, I've wanted things my way, and that's what's begun the fight, both the fight inside of me and then the fight that spills over into others, or maybe it's God. I've been frustrated with God about the way things have turned out. I've been angry with God about some of the things that have happened in my life and some of the things that haven't. And so I'm wrestling, I'm struggling with God. Sometimes the striving, the struggling, the fight is because there's an obstacle that's been put in my life by the enemy of God. Sometimes God's enemies also attack us. They put obstacles in our way. And so sometimes the fight, it's a godly, it's a righteous fight. So the question still, though, who are you fighting? And what are you fighting for? Well, Mary Beth and I, every morning, we sit together at some point in the morning as we're getting ready. Both of us have quite a challenge of getting our hair ready, primarily. It balances out, kind of. But we read together. At some point in the morning, we read together from a devotional book called Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. And this week was this reading that we're going to read together. I'm going to read it off the screen so I'll make sure I get all the words right. I am the potter. You are my clay. This is Jesus speaking to us, okay? So when I say I, that means Jesus is speaking to us. I designed you before the foundation of the world, and I arranged the events of each day to form you into my image. Okay, think about it. This is what God's goal is. When God showed up to wrestle with Jacob, his intent was to form him into his own image. When God shows up in your life to wrestle with you, it's because he wants you to be in his own image. He's the potter. You're the clay. Boom. Let me see. My everlasting love is at work in every event of your life. You tend to feel in control of your life when our wills are in harmony. Everything's going cool. I'm in charge. This works. I like it. Life is good. On other days, you feel as if you're swimming upstream against the current of my purposes, right? We've been in both of these places. When that happens, stop and seek my face. The opposition you seek the opposition you feel may be from me, or it may be from the evil one. Sometimes when we are experiencing this struggle inside, it's God. And he's saying to me, he often says, stop doing that thing you're doing. Or he says, get off of your bottom and get to work. You know, God is in there stirring me. And I'm struggling sometimes with that. Sometimes it's a wrestling match. But sometimes it's not from God. The opposition I feel is from the enemy, because he's always firing, as it says in Ephesians, which we'll get to in a minute, he's firing flaming arrows at us all the time. We have a real enemy, and sometimes the wrestling is against that enemy. Talk with me. Let my spirit guide you through difficult times. Let circumstances mold you into the one I desire you to be. Now, this isn't saying that we should be conform to the circumstances around us, but it is that God will use the circumstances around us to form us into his own image. As he did all of the servants, we'll get to some of these in a minute, where God is going to use negative circumstances to form us into his image. Say yes to your potter as you go through this day. That's Jesus calling. Well, now then, let's talk about Jacob. Here's our boy Jacob. The story of Jacob, and I'm gonna kind of summarize part of the story that leads up to this point. But I'm gonna begin with his birth. He was born as a twin. We got twins in the room. Yeah, we do. We got twins, one name, Jacob. It's a good name. But Jacob was the heel grabber, and he was the deceiver. This was what is going to be not only his name, but his personality. He was going to go through life trying to outwit folks. And he started out with his brother, and he stole his brother's birthright. He stole his brother's inheritance. And you know, it was over a pot of stew. And while his brother was not someone we would want to, model our lives after, he was also in the wrong. But why not just share the stew, huh? Just share the stew. Your brother's hungry, give him some stew. But that's not the way Jacob worked. And then later he worked with his mother to lie to his father, to steal the inheritance, to steal the blessing. It was so bad that when Isaac found out, it says he trembled violently. That was Isaac when he found out what Jacob had done to him. And then he goes and he lives with his uncle Laban. And old Uncle Laban was a scumbag. He was just a businessman who did business, but he was ornery. And he was cheating his future son-in-law. He fooled him into marrying a daughter he did not love and worked for him for years so he could marry a daughter he did love. So Jacob's life was full of conflict, one turn after the other. And then he got two wives and their sisters. Can you imagine this? I'm married to two sisters, one I love, one I don't love, and they're both fighting each other all the time. Does that sound like a good place you want to live? Jacob's life was full of conflict. And then he's going to plan to come home and reconcile with Esau, whose parting words were, "I'm going to kill you if I see you again." This time Jacob's wits, his cunning and deception were not going to be enough. And that's when the wrestling match took place. There were other wrestlers, though, and I want to emphasize that, besides just Jacob in the Bible. David wrestled with God. Elijah wrestled with God. Jeremiah, they're all upset with God, fighting with God, arguing with God. Paul argued with God. He fought God. He murdered men in his fight against God. Peter fought God. But, you know, it comes down to this too. There was a moment in the life of Jesus where he was wrestling with God. It says he was praying so intensely that there were drops of blood. He's wrestling with God. "I don't want to do this, but your will, not mine, be done." So, how do you wrestle with God? I want to ask it this way. Where in your life do you lack peace? Where do you lack peace? For some, this lack of peace or this wrestling with God comes from pride. Or maybe it's a bad habit that I can't kick, like gossiping. Or it's worry. And I struggle with this myself. Even though God has shown me the way how to not worry, I wrestle with God. Or maybe it's jealousy. Others have things I don't. And I'm wrestling with God, "Why not me?" Or maybe it's anger. And we live right now in a culture of anger, and people seem to be easily angered. And why is my anger always flaring up? Or maybe it's bitterness, just this unwillingness to forgive. Where are you wrestling with God? Usually it boils down to selfishness at some point. I want my way. I'm not getting my way. And like a toddler, I'm throwing a temper tantrum at God. We're wrestling. Who are you fighting against? And what do you want to accomplish with your wrestling? Sometimes our enemy is the evil one, and obstacles are put in our way. And what we are to do is persevere. Keep wrestling. Keep hanging on. As we sang earlier, I'm hanging on to you. I'm leaning into you. I'm in a spot in my life where it's hard. And God is saying, don't stop fighting. But you're not fighting against me in that fight. In that fight, you're fighting with God. On your side, not against God. But sometimes, you know, you're the one. You're the one who needs to submit to God. And the answer to our fighting with God often leaves us with a wound. In the case of Jacob, the one he wrestled, God, put his hip out of joint. And he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. I wonder how it went down the next morning, where he saw his brother, and then he saw his wives, and he saw his people, and they're looking at him and say, where'd you get that limp, bro? And he says, well, you would not believe it if I told you. So sometimes our wrestling with God leaves us with a wound, with a scar. Sometimes that's useful because it helps us to remember. Stop fighting against God. Keep fighting with God. One of the things, though, that's happened in our fighting, and I read this, I'm going to read it to you from an article I was reading about this, has to do with our identity as we fight God. And in Jacob's case, it came with also a name change, but I'm just going to read it as it says. Wrestling with God changed Jacob's identity. I want to ask, who are you? I am a child of God. Amen. He was no longer to be known as the one who received his blessing by deception. Okay, remember, he's got this blessing because he tricked his brother twice. He tricked his father. But now he's asking the one he's wrestling. He's asking God, give me a blessing. I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. And so now, instead of getting his blessing because of his deceptive ways, now he's getting a blessing from God because he won't let go. He won't quit. He won't give up. This time he received God's blessing by prevailing with God. The struggle turned out to be a profoundly gracious gift of restoration that God gave Jacob. Not unlike the gift that Jesus gave Peter when he let Peter affirm his love for him the same number of times as he had denied his love for him. Jacob's tenacious faith pleased God, and he rewarded Jacob's request. He blessed him. When God calls on us to wrestle with him, there's always more going on than we first understand. There's more going on. And God always uses our wrestling to transform us for his good. He's the potter. We're the clay. We're going to sing a song. And after we sing today, there are some thoughts that came to me, and this often happens, driving into the parking lot. later, you know, I've got something I'm going to say. I'm pretty relatively prepared, but sometimes those parking lot thoughts are the ones that really hit home. And I found out after I'd been here a few minutes that Mary Beth had been praying for me, that God would, the way she put it, pour words into me. And sure enough, I mean, exactly when she was praying that was what was going on. I want to share those after we sing this song, because this song also speaks to us about our identity and what often happens when we're finished wrestling with God. He changes us, transforms us to be who he wants us to be. Let's sing.